It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Lincoln Agency. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside La Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Now here's your host, Jonathan Ford.
Welcome to Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jay Ford, your host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio and the publisher of BleedTechBlue.com. Jared King joining me here in studio. We are this year are presented by Lincoln Agency, and our sponsors are National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevyland Chevrolet in Shreveport, Maxwell's Market in Shreveport, and new CollegeSteel.com. in Arcadia. They are the host. They are the sponsor of the CollegeSteel.com hotline, 888-993-7762, or send us an email, radio@BleedTechBlue.com, to our radio inbox. Jared, not so pretty of a football game last Thursday night in Joe Ice Stadium. The Bulldogs never seemed to be able to get anything going offensively, and as a result, fell 15-24 to Tulane.
My friends make fun of me for using the word terrible a lot when describing things.
You do use it a lot.
I do.
You're guilty as charged on that one.
I would describe the offensive performance of the Louisiana Tech Bulldogs as terrible.
Terrible. There's a famous Tech alum that says terrible. We won't go into that. But anyway, yes, that was not a good offensive performance for Louisiana Tech, but I thought the defense actually played pretty well. We'll go through that depth chart real quick of the game Thursday night against Tulane. Tech had 14 first downs to Tulane 17. Tulane had 364 total yards to Tech's 289. They had 235 passing yards to Tech's 165. 129 rushing yards to Tech's 124. Six penalties for Tulane for 55 yards. Six Tech penalties for 35 yards. Tech was an atrocious 4-for-18 on third down, and Tulane was 9-for-22 and 1-for-2 on fourth down. Tech was 0-for-0 on fourth down, but Tulane had four turnovers to Tech's two, and Tech still was on the losing end of that one. The defense really did their job, with exception to a couple of long plays. They were able to keep most of the plays in front of them, and that's what you ask for from a defense. Just keep everything in front of you. Don't get beat deep on a long play. Make them make a mistake, and Tulane made plenty of them.
Absolutely. Most of the time, whenever you win the turnover battle, you expect to win the game. But in this case, the Louisiana Tech couldn't convert a third down, and the problem was because the passes, if you needed third and six, the pass was third and three. It was for 3 yards. And it was almost got to the point to where it was kind of frustrating. I'm up in the press box and I start counting. And I'm looking and I'm like, okay, are the receivers not getting open? Is Scotty not looking at them? Does Scotty not have time to let those routes develop? And so I'm looking down from the press box. I said, okay, I'm going to start counting. One Mississippi, two Mississippi, and just see when he starts getting pressured. And there were times when I didn't get to two before there was somebody right there in his face, and he just didn't have time to throw the ball.
And whenever that's the case, almost nobody's going to have any success throwing the football.
Right. You could put Colby Cameron, with the success that he had last year, behind the offensive line from this year, and he wouldn't be nearly as productive because he had one of the best offensive lines in the country last year.
Right, really, in the history of Louisiana Tech, and there's going to be not many people are going to argue that fact. The tackles for Tech are playing pretty decent. The pressure for Tech is coming from the defenses that Tech is playing. It's coming up the middle.
Right.
From the center and really the left guard. I think Matt Shepard, the lone returning starter, is playing pretty well. He may be at times concerned about his other teammates there on the line and worried about if they're making the block, especially there at the center spot. But he needs to focus on what he's got to do, and that's what all of them have to do. You've got a job to do. And in the words of Sean Payton last year, whenever he was sitting out for the NFL suspension, do your job. And that's the long and the short of it. Scotty Young, of course, went out after halftime and never came back with a rib injury. Coach Holtz said yesterday in his press conference that he's probable, along with Kenneth Dixon. Kenneth tried to play. There's a lot of people who question why in the world would you play him, even if he's hurt. Well, he had a knee brace on.
Yeah, he had a knee brace.
What is he going to do?
Right. He had a knee brace on, and Coach said that he kept telling him, you know, Coach, it feels good. I'm ready to go. So he puts him out there. Kenneth carries the ball four times, pulls him right back out, and, you know, tells him, look, you don't look right. So we're not gonna run the ball on and risk further injury.
So they pulled him out and he never went back in. But like we said, Kenneth is probable for Saturday, and what we saw in the second half was an offense without its best, without the best two players in the backfield of Scotty Young and Kenneth Dixon.
Right.
And whenever any team's doesn't have their starting quarterback and starting running back, things are not going
to
look good.
Tevin King only ran the ball 14 times, and we talked about it last week. It's hard to ride 150-pound, 5'6", running back, scat back.
Some people have been saying, why didn't he play most of the third quarter? It's pretty common across college football to put, for lack of a better term, a pitch count on a smaller running back.
Sure.
And it seems that that's what Tevin King has, and I actually understand it, and it makes sense to me. When you do have a 160-pound tailback in Tevin King, he's not going to be able to shoulder the load for an entire game. And they didn't let him, and they didn't allow him to. And I think that both of those things are a good thing.
If you look at the other carries that other running backs got, Blake Martin was the only other one to get carries. And someone had pointed out to me that Blake was averaging 6 yards a carry and they shouldn't have taken him out. And I told him, I said, well, one carry went for 24 yards and he finished the game with only 19. Something is not right with those totals. So two other carries went for a loss of 5. So Blake wasn't doing anything either. But a lot of it is because Tevin King, the offensive line doesn't have to block really well for Tevin King or Kenneth Dixon to be productive. Tevin, he just does such a good job.
He doesn't need a lot of room.
Yeah, he does such a good job of finding whatever's there and squirting through. And then Kenneth Dixon breaks tackles in the backfield.
He makes people miss.
Yeah, well, that too.
When you look at text, of course, Ryan Higgins played the second half, was 7 for 16 for 57 yards with a touchdown and an interception.
Should have been two interceptions at least.
It could have been three. His quarterback rating?
5.7.
You know, I'm looking at this ESPN. All of these quarterbacks in this game had terrible quarterback ratings.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Nick Montana's was 25.8, which
and Scotty's was a 20.
Yeah, even 20.
That was some pretty poor quarterback play in that game Saturday.
It was.
Ryan Grant for Tulane, like we said, he was going to get his. He had 7 catches for 79 yards.
Which was actually less than I expected him to get. Liggins did a really good job.
I think a lot of credit goes to the defense. They were out there the entire game, and people were going to say, well, they gave up almost 400 yards. Yeah, but the time of possession was 35 minutes. They were on the field for 35 minutes.
Yeah. I thought that the defense had a great game, really. At one point, Tech took the lead for most tackles for a loss in the country this year. Of course, they played Thursday night, so they had a chance to take that spot from Baylor before Baylor played. But the defense was playing really well, and I thought that the defense, of course, Tulane was 9 of 22 on third down, and there were a couple of drives, especially the touchdown drive whenever they were backed up 3rd and 24, and they give up the touchdown that you just wonder, how in the world does that happen?
Keep the man in front of you. Know where the first down marker is.
Right. Just keep him in front of you.
And they didn't do it on that play, but whenever you've got inexperienced secondary members, that's going to happen at times. Is it awful that it happened on 3rd and 24? Sure.
Right.
But it could have happened on 1st and 10. It could have happened on 2nd and 10.
Right.
It just so happens that it happened on 3rd and 24.
Right.
And then to broach the subject of this before we get to the break, on the other side of the break, we'll talk about this depth chart on offense and talk about the players that are playing a lot that it's Sonny Dykes and his staff recruited and not this current staff. But for the people who are calling for the coaches' heads after 3 games, What's wrong with your brain?
Too early. It's too early. It's premature.
Think about the first season under Sonny Dykes and Tony Franklin. Think about that year. They opened the season with Grambling, and honestly, nearly lost to Grambling in Shreveport. Check your brain, please. Do you have any brain activity? I know that fan is short for fanatic, but at some point you've got to be realistic. Just because the coaches, in your opinion, aren't doing the job, they're at practice every day. You're not.
Right.
They've seen all these quarterbacks throw. They clearly think that Scotty Young's the best option.
And he is. And
from what I've seen at practice,
Ryan Higgins showed that on Thursday. He showed that Scotty Young is the best option.
And I've been saying it from day one. As soon as I saw Scotty Young, he's the best quarterback on the roster. And it's not even close. And it really isn't.
No, it's really not.
So yeah, people who are calling for the coaches' heads after three games, you really need to check yourselves.
Just reevaluate.
If you got problems with it, call us. College Steel Hotline, 888-993-7762. We will be back right after this.
Have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio every week.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7, presented by Lincoln Agency. This is Season 6 in Episode 5. Jared, a couple of sponsors before we get back into some talk of this roster.
Yeah, Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6 brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevy Land in Shreveport, Maxwell's Market in Shreveport. You can contact us on the College Steel Hotline at 888-993-7762 or send us an email at radio@bleedtechblue.com.
So, Jared, you look at this roster. There's seven quarterbacks on the roster. That's unheard of.
That's a lot of quarterbacks. It's an inordinate amount of walk-on quarterbacks.
And when this staff took one high school walk-on, one transfer walk-on from Amherst College, who's a senior, Sean Berman, 6'4", 214. And then you look at Chase Schultz, is the high school walk-on. Scotty Young, scholarship quarterback from the Dykes era. Annie McCallendon, scholarship quarterback from the Dykes era.
Let me just interject right there and tell you that Andy McAllendon, terrible.
He throws the ball no laces. What more can you say? Andy McCallendon, scholarship Dykes. Ryan Higgins, scholarship Dykes. Zach Griffith, scholarship Dykes. There's five quarterbacks on this roster that are all scholarship quarterbacks from the Dykes era. And we're still having this issue at quarterback. What does that tell you about what state Sonny Dykes and his staff left this roster in? They weren't building a program. They were building a team.
They were building a resume.
Building a resume, building a team to get to their next job.
Yeah, I have no doubt that Sonny was building a resume. And I'll just go ahead and I'll say that.
He did it at Louisiana Tech's expense.
Yeah, absolutely. For this staff to bring on a walk-on senior quarterback.
Transfer.
Tells you where the quarterbacks were on that roster when they got here. And it tells you that.
Tells you how confident they were in them.
Right.
Or lack thereof.
Or lack thereof. And it tells you where Ryan and Zach and Paul and. Well, not Paul, but Ryan and Zach especially are. Because Scotty is head and shoulders ahead of that group.
And in Ryan Higgins' defense, and I'm not bashing Ryan at all. Ryan's a redshirt freshman.
Yeah, he just
needs time. You don't expect freshmen to contribute.
No.
They're freshmen.
I agree. No.
And especially in the quarterback position, you rarely see them contribute. Yes, Nick Isham did a bit, but Nick Isham threw, man, his fair share of some interceptions.
Yeah, he did. A couple of interceptions that cost games.
Cost some games. So he was a freshman. That's what they do. They make mistakes.
Yeah. No, I agree. Ryan's line from the second half of that game versus Tulane was 7 of 16 for 57 yards, 3.6 yard average, one touchdown and one pick. And the drive that led to the touchdown that he threw to Trent Taylor in the back of the end zone was the best drive that Ryan put together. It wasn't a bad drive. For those people who are saying that they want to see Ryan Higgins in the lineup because he's mobile, he's not mobile. Nine attempts for 13 yards, which that includes a couple of sacks, but he's not a mobile quarterback. Is he more mobile than Scotty Young?
Well, Scotty Young had one carry for 9 yards. If we're going to use those numbers.
Well, that's true, but overall, of course, he ran it. I mean, do you remember the play where Scotty got those nine?
Yeah, it was a zone read where he kept it.
Yeah. And oftentimes Ryan was running. Well, Ryan ran the zone read a
90% of the time he was in there.
And of the time he was keeping it instead of pitching.
And once again, in Ryan Higgins' defense, Tulane had figured out that Tech could not throw the ball.
Yeah.
So they were sending nine every play.
Every play in the second half.
And why they couldn't complete a ball downfield is beyond anyone's comprehension.
I agree. And in Ryan's defense, he's running the zone read in his first college game as a redshirt freshman. It's a tough situation to be
It was a really tough situation, especially when you know that your fellow compadre, for lack of a better term, he went down with a rib injury.
Yeah.
So you want me to sit in this pocket after my teammate went out with a rib injury, and you want me to let them tee off on me?
Right. No, I agree.
That's a tough situation to be in. It all starts up front. There's the Louisiana Tech offensive line in the middle. I think Jens Danielson at left tackle has played well. Jeremy Graffrey at right tackle and Mitchell Bell at right tackle have played well. You got to wonder, Holtz and did say that they're going to try to mix up the offensive line this week. I wonder, and I imagine one spot they're going to do it. They're going to either move Jeremy Graffrey to guard again and leave Mitchell Bell at right tackle so they can get some consistency out there. I wouldn't be surprised if Jeremy Graffrey's playing left guard this week. And maybe Matt Shepard playing center.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Because Vince Kano, the only team that he looked good against was Lamar. He did not look good in week one against NC State. Now, granted, that was the best D-tackle they're going to play all year.
And I actually am kind of encouraged about the game Saturday. I don't want to jump the gun, but they play the 3-4 again.
Right.
And what did Tech do against the 3-4? They gashed them for yards.
They did.
Now, this is a Southland 3-4 versus a Big 12 3-4. There's going to be a heck of a difference. But at the same time, the 3-4 at the college game is very susceptible to giving lots of yards on the ground.
Yeah, and Kenneth will be back and
should be back.
Well, he's probable.
Yeah.
And knock on wood.
Will be probably black. Probably back.
Yeah, probably.
Pardon
back.
The slip of the tongue.
Well, that too. But anyway, he's probable to be back, and I think he does play. I think he plays, and I think he'll be fine.
But offensively, Tony Peterson was at the press conference yesterday, and he felt comfortable that they left plays out there and points on the field. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, yeah.
And if they could execute, if every player on the offense would execute, Tech has the potential with this offense to score 30 or 40 points.
Absolutely. There was a four-point swing on the very first drive. The very first pass, the flea flicker, which I liked to see, I really liked that the coaching staff was
open up the playbook,
opening it up and going downfield. And the very first play of the game could very well have been a touchdown if Richie Casey, I don't know, gets just one stride. That's all he needed.
He was open.
He was wide open. I don't think they were expecting it.
And then Tevin King drops a sure touchdown.
Yeah, Tevin, man, right through his
hands.
That would
be 14 points.
And there was no one around him. Absolutely.
This is not coaching.
No, I don't think so. I think it's a matter of execution.
When you look at the offensive line, let's go through that part of the roster. Let's see here. Scroll on offensive line. Matt Shepard is the lone returning senior. Then you look at the other guys that are playing there. Jeremy Graffrey is a redshirt senior, actually playing in his sixth year after some injuries, so he's not real experienced. Jens Danielson's a junior, played on the scout team last year, 6'4", 286, a junior college player. Vince Kano was a defensive lineman last season. He's playing center. Mitchell Bell's a redshirt junior college transfer. So he doesn't have a lot of FBS experience. Larry Banks is a fifth-year senior playing on this offensive line. He is he's actually another six-year senior, and he's not real experienced. What is the old saying, Jared? When you put lipstick on a pig, what is it still?
It's still a pig.
I'm not saying these guys don't have ability, because they clearly do. They're playing. They were given multiple scholarship offers to play Division I football, but these things don't happen overnight. And I think that's what a lot of fans are expecting. For let's turn the light switch on, and all of a sudden this offensive line is exactly like it was last year. Were my expectations a little higher at the beginning of the year? Absolutely, I think everybody's was, but. You got to think with your head and not with your heart.
And that's hard to ask of a fan.
It's hard to ask of a fan, but at the same time, be realistic and don't put yourself in Holtz's shoes. Would you want people to have some patience with you three games into your first year at a program?
Sure, absolutely. I think Skip, whether he'll admit it or not, I think he knows the state of his offensive line. And I think he knows, and granted, he does.
But there's not a whole lot they can do. You've got less experience, or you got no experience.
Yeah, that's all there is to it. And each of these guys, like he said, some of these guys that are in his starting lineup have three games of experience now. And so it's hard to ask much more of a guy who's played in three games. And that's it.
And then people are asking, well, Petey Payroll needs to be. We need to get Petey Payroll back from Southern Miss.
No.
He's not coming back. He's at Southern Miss, and he's enjoying his time in Hattiesburg, I would imagine. And B, Matt Moore has the credentials. He's a good coach.
Yeah.
You're three games in.
For those who have any doubt about Matt Moore, it's not the coaching that's the issue. Matt Moore is a fine coach. It's not the coaching. It's the fact that you have a defensive lineman playing center that's the problem.
Hey, you know what? An interesting fact that we'll find out at 6:45 some more, but Kansas has a former D lineman as their center this year as well. How funny is that?
Well, it's ironic.
It's very ironic. After the break, we hope to have Kane McGuire, Louisiana Tech Basketball Media Relations Director, on the phone. And he's going to talk about this Louisiana Tech basketball schedule. I know he's out at that football practice right now trying to get some interviews probably for the football program because of the rain. They're kind of delayed. We'll try to get him. But if not, Jared and I will talk about the schedule, and we'll get him later on in the segment. But this is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio is back.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. I am Jay Ford, your host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio and the publisher of BleedTechBlue.com. We are presented this year by Lincoln Agency. Jared, a couple of sponsors before we get into, believe it or not, basketball.
Yeah, Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6 brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevyland in Shreveport, Maxwell's Market in Shreveport. Give us a call on the College Steel hotline at 888-993-7762 or email us your questions at radio@bleedtechblue.com.
This Louisiana Tech basketball team, of course, coming off an outstanding year last year, making it to the second round of the National Invitational Tournament, or the NIT, for postseason play. They open the season in Ruston October 30th, believe it or not, the day before Halloween. It is a month and a half away. That's it. Against Arkansas Monticello at 6:30 inside the TAC. Then a week later, or less than a week later, 5 days later, they play Southern Arkansas in another exhibition game in Ruston, time to be announced. Then they open the regular season on the road against St. Mary's of the West Coast Conference. That's a task. But not an unobtainable task when you look at what Louisiana Tech has coming back. They lost two seniors off last year's team, Brandon Gibson and J.L. Lewis. Keon McNeil is back. Keon McNeil was a junior last year. I know it seems like Keon McNeil's
Keon
been here.
Keon looks like he's 40.
Keon McNeil feels like he's been here since the beginning of time, but Keon is going to be a senior this year. They have plenty of talent on this roster. They even picked up some in recruiting last year that are in that's going to add length to this team, and that's what they needed, and some bulk, which is also what they needed, because that's something that they got dominated by teams that were bigger than they were last season. And Leo Edwards out of the Detroit area comes in at 6'8", 220. He's bigger than 6'8". I've seen him at some basketball games. I'd say he's 6'9". Going to bring in some girth into the lane, and that's something that Tech needed. Is Dominique Jackson, the other kid that Tech signed, never made it academically. He is at Olney Junior College, I believe, in Ohio, so he did not make it on campus. But the Tech basketball staff has three commitments for 2014. Jacoby Boykins out of St. Petersburg, Florida, three-star player on Rivals.com, 6'4", 180. Brandon Shepard out of Shreveport, Huntington High School, 6'8", 220. And Xavier Stapleton out of Madison Central High School in Madison, Mississippi, 6'5", 190. They're adding length, and there's three kids they're waiting on commitments from that have three bigs. A 6'10 player, Jemani McNeese out of Texas, Aaron Epps out of Tioga, Louisiana, and Janiah White out of Jackson, Mississippi. McNeese, 6'10, Epps, 6'9, White, 6'11.
You know, looking at last year's statistics, they were 26th in the league in rebounding, 38.5 rebounds per game, with Mike Kaiser and JL, which Chris Anderson grabbed a lot of rebounds. I'm a fan of Chris Anderson. He's a hustle guy.
I refer to those kind of guys as a junkyard dog.
Yeah,
He cleans up the garbage.
I'm a real big fan of Anderson. But anyway, they 26th in the country in rebounding last season. Now they're adding guys with some size. I really think that Tech has a good chance to compete in Conference USA
for a championship.
Yeah, and win the thing.
We do have Kane McGuire from Louisiana Tech Media Relations, the basketball contact for Media Relations, on the line with us. Kane, thanks for joining us.
What's up, guys? How's it going? Sorry for the delay.
It's all right. Rain messed you up. You were going to be on schedule, but Mother Nature had other plans.
Exactly, and I got a stat crew for volleyball right after this, so life of an SID.
There you go, especially this time of year in the fall with so many sports going on at Louisiana Tech. Of course, Kane, they opened the regular season with St. Mary's, then Centenary in Ruston on the 13th is a regular season game. It'll count for the record, even though they're not a D1. Central Arkansas the following week. Just talk about this schedule and the marquee games on the schedule.
Well, the schedule, you know, worked out pretty well, you know, especially given the fact that the coaches really, really had a hard time of finding people that would play them, to be honest with you. You know, most coaches just go off your previous record and who all you have returning. And, you know, we win 27 games and have 11 guys returning. And, you know, teams don't really want to play you. It's really, you know, kind of political in a way. So I think it really came together. The three big games, obviously, that people are going to look at in the non-conference are at St. Mary's and at Oklahoma State, which are really, really, you know, big games. And, you know, we have an opportunity to go on the road and kind of help our RPI a little bit with those and maybe come out with a win.
And, you know, you talk about that RPI. Tech did finish within the 64 teams of their RPI to finish the year. And if you look at just numbers, they should have ended up in the NCAA tournament, but they didn't. And we know that the NCAA tournament is a pretty political thing. They didn't pad their resume enough to make it to the NCAA tournament. And that's really what they're trying to do this season with some of those games.
They are. It's all about trying to get quality wins. And so you got to find the opponents to try to do so. So we go out, you know, we're playing six teams that made it to the NCAA tournament last year. You've got Southern, Northwestern State, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, St. Mary's. And then you have Middle Tennessee, who, you know, won the Sun Belt last year and got an at-large. And I believe we're up to, I think we got 12 teams that played in any postseason tournament last year. So it's all about trying to give yourself chances to get some quality wins.
When you switch gears a little bit to the conference schedule, probably the hardest conference game on the schedule will probably be UTEP on the road, Southern Miss on the road. Southern Miss lost a good bit off of last year's team. It's still not going to be an easy win, but that one's not nearly as daunting as going on the road to El Paso and facing former Tech alum UTEP coach Tim Floyd.
Oh, yeah, UTEP, I mean, they have such an incredible fan base there in basketball, and it's so tough to win in UTEP. But it could be a kind of a blessing in disguise because, you know, the Conference USA tournament will be held in the same arena, so at least we'll have some familiarity with the arena and playing in it.
And then UAB is never bad at basketball with Mike Davis as their coach. That'll be another tough trip for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough conference all around. You've got plenty of teams that can go out there and win it. You know, just because we return so many players, and on paper, yeah, sure, it may look like that we should win, but I mean, I believe every game is going to be tough and come down to the wire.
And you got to like this home slate for Louisiana Tech with Charlotte coming to town, with Marshall coming to town, with Tulsa coming to town, with North Texas coming to town, with Rice and Middle Tennessee. That's a good lineup of teams for Bulldog fans to watch.
It's a very good lineup. And even, you know, go non-conference, we have three straight home games against in-state rivals Louisiana Lafayette, who's going to be really, really good this year. They return a couple of really big-time players. And then we play Southern at home, which gave Gonzaga all they wanted in the NCAA tournament last year. And then we got the rematch with Northwestern State, which was a pretty exciting game last year in Natchitoches. So it's a very, very good home schedule. I think fans will be really excited, and we'll have plenty of excitement going on in the TAC this year.
Well, Kane, we really appreciate you coming on and joining us and talking a little hoops. I'm ready for it. I know you are.
I am too. Oh, yeah. It can't get here soon enough. I mean, we got first official practice is in less than 2 weeks. We got basketball media day for CUSA on October 8th. And when you snap your fingers, before you know it, it's going to be time to hoop them up.
That's right, Kane. Really appreciate it again coming on the show for us tonight.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Kane. Kane McGuire, Louisiana Tech Media Relations Director for Basketball, joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jared, I like this schedule. Probably some more marquee games to Ruston than people can remember in recent memory.
I like the schedule, too. I like hosting Marshall. Marshall, I don't know how many remember, but Marshall did make it all the way to the championship game, the Conference USA championship game last year, losing to Memphis, which is a very respectable loss. Yep. Memphis is good year in and year out. So I like that. the Southern Miss game, Southern Miss lost a lot. I don't think that they'll have near as much trouble with Southern Miss this year. And then the Middle Tennessee did win 28 games last season. So Blue Raiders will.
And then UTSA, a team that really knocked Tech out of the WAC tournament last year. Tech has to go on the road to San Antonio and play them. That won't be an easy game, but I know that won't be a game that will be hard to get up for.
No, absolutely not. They'll be seeking a little bit of revenge with that one.
And Tulsa has a former Kansas coach as their head coach. I can't, his name escapes me right this second. So they will be very well coached. North Texas always has a good basketball team. Rice is good at basketball. And then they go on the road. East Carolina and Old Dominion, those are long ways away from Ruston, and will not be very easy games for the Bulldogs, but it is late in the year and they should really be rolling by that point. One team that I was proud to see that they had added was Longwood in Virginia. Longwood is known for having one of the worst basketball teams in the country in ARD1. I think they play in the Big South.
I've never heard of Longwood.
Longwood is a liberal arts school in Virginia.
Oh, liberal arts. Okay.
you say that like it's a bad thing.
Well, you know, there's that joke. What does the liberal arts major say to the engineering major?
What do they say?
Would you like fries with that?
Oh, no offense out there to you liberal arts
majors.
Well,
I'm a liberal arts major, so.
Oh, you are. You That's true.
There you go. Danny Manning.
Danny Manning is the Tulsa head coach.
Of the Tulsa Golden Hurricane.
He's He's pretty well known around basketball circles, but I just couldn't remember his name. Tells you how well known he is to me. But yes, Louisiana Tech basketball is around the corner and coming off of a historic season last year, 27-7, is that right? What the record was? 27-7 with a second round NIT loss to Southern Miss in what was an awesome atmosphere of a basketball game. And Tech fans, these close road trips don't just travel to road trips for football. And basketball, fans can have even more of an effect on a game than in football. So at Southern Miss, make the journey to Hattiesburg. I think that game, what day of the week is that? That's on a Sunday. It's going to be an evening game after the game. Bring the family back. Get them to school the next day. But you've got time to get down there for the game. That's an atmosphere you don't want to miss. Even the UTEP, if you can make a little vacation out of it. I know it's on January 30th, the day before, or not the day before New Year's, because that was a month before.
Right.
But I'm thinking I was reading it December 30th. But try to make a trip out to UTEP. That's an outstanding atmosphere for basketball. Even San Antonio on Saturday, February 1st, not a terrible drive for a 3 p.m. tip.
I would rather drive to San Antonio than to UTEP, personally.
Well, for one, you're about halfway there to UTEP when you're driving. UTEP is way the heck.
It is so far.
Way the heck's about the only way you can say it on the radio and not get in trouble with the FCC.
UTEP, when you cross over the state border in Shreveport and you see that UTEP is like...
Does it say El Paso? I've never noticed that sign.
El Paso, like 676 exits later or something.
Oh, okay.
Exits later. It's ridiculous.
It is not close to Ruston, Louisiana, but it is an outstanding basketball atmosphere. And try to make the trip out to El Paso to watch the Bulldogs play, especially for the conference tournament in March. March 11th through 15th. And if the Bulldogs, of course, take that tournament, they get an automatic bid into the conference, maybe the NCAA tournament, which is the ultimate goal for any college basketball team. On the other side of the break, we've got an interview that I recorded earlier today with John Kirby of JayhawkSlant.com, where he will begin talking Kansas football for the game Saturday at 11 o'clock on Fox Sports 1 between Louisiana Tech and...
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. We are presented by Lincoln Agency this season. Season 6, believe it or not, of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We're sponsored by National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevrolet in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport. Give us a call after this segment on the collegesteel.com hotline, 888-993-7762. Or send us an email, radio at bleedtechblue.com. Let's go to that interview right now with John Kirby of jayhawkslant.com. John Kirby joining us here from JayhawkSlant on Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio 97.7. I am Jay Ford. John, this week it's going to be a defensive struggle because neither offense really, how do you say it, they really can't do a whole lot. So just talk to me about what does Kansas like to do offensively when they do have success?
Well, I think their best success comes when they get their ground game going, because Jake Heaps is a good enough quarterback who's got a good enough arm. I mean, he set all the freshman passing records at BYU, and BYU's had a lot of good quarterbacks come through there in their day. So Jake Heaps can throw the ball, but I think Kansas is a little different. I think a lot of teams throw it to run it. I think Kansas runs it to throw it. Kansas has a good stable of running backs. They're very talented there. They might have one of the best backfields in the Big 12. You know, the issue is that you got four new offensive linemen in there. They're all trying to find their way. One of them is a converted defensive lineman who's moved to center. Three of them are junior college guys that are playing for their first time. So, you know, it's still kind of a work in progress there.
You know, John, what you just described is honestly Louisiana Tech. Louisiana Tech has two talented running backs, one that was a freshman All-American last season in Kenneth Dixon, a converted defensive lineman is the center, only one returning starter on the offensive line. They like to run the ball to set up the pass. This game is going to be very interesting on Saturday for many reasons, and that just adds to it. When you look at defensively for Kansas, like Louisiana,
Louisiana Tech. That is their strength. What do they like to do defensively?
Well, they've changed schemes this year a little bit. They've gone with three down linemen. They've got three big guys in the middle. They've got some linebackers who are pretty active. And their secondary's played really well. You know, last week, Kansas went on the road and faced Rice. And I got to tell you, after watching Rice a couple times this year, they're pretty good offensively. I mean, they had 510 yards against A&M, and Kansas did a great job. I mean, Rice didn't score an offensive touchdown until about 4 minutes to go in the game. That was their first time they punched it in. They got an interception return for a touchdown. So Kansas' defense played really well. But I think, you know, last week against Rice, they did a lot of blitzing and did a good job of shutting down their offense.
Do they like to do man coverage on the outside at the receiver position? Because Louisiana Tech has struggled throwing the ball consistently this year. They like the dink and dunk, but haven't stretched the field a whole lot because of there hasn't been a whole lot there. So what do they like to do in the secondary?
Well, they've gone more man-to-man this year, but I say that, you know, with a little asterisk there because they haven't really faced a high-powered passing team yet. They faced South Dakota, University of South Dakota in week one. They threw the ball 18, 19 times. Rice throws the ball when they have to. They really want to do that quarterback run game and get that big running back going. So, you know, to this point, we haven't seen Kansas face one of those spread teams, and I don't know what Louisiana Tech's doing offensively, but when I think of them, I think of them in that spread and hurry up and kind of like they did last year under Sonny Dykes, and I don't know if they're still doing that same type of thing.
Well, they are doing a little bit of the same. When they have success, they are going up tempo and want to get that mismatch on the defense. They want to leave that mismatch of a lineup on the field and keep the defense from substituting. So there's still a lot of the up tempo stuff, but you haven't seen a lot of drives this season where Louisiana Tech's had a ton of success. So there hasn't been a lot of an opportunity for them to be up tempo. Louisiana Tech, the running backs, they have Kenneth Dixon, who's about 5'10", 215, and then Tevin King, who's 5'6", 5'7", 170. He's kind of the scat back. Kenneth Dixon should be back this week. He missed last week against Tulane. When he is able to run downhill is really when Kenneth Dixon is at his best. Tech has played 1-3-4 team this year in Lamar. Of course, Lamar's an FCS opponent, and they've had some pretty good success running against the 3-4. Have they had any issues stopping the run with that 3-4?
No, they've done pretty well. Their problem has come on some things like option to the outside where Rice got outside it, contained a couple times. And then earlier in the year, their first game against the University of South Dakota, the quarterback, the players had told me this, they did some things they had never seen from film. They were running like a speed option with their fullback as a lead blocker, and their quarterback got free a few times. But the thing Kansas has really done is they've got some size up front, and they've got a couple guys that are kind of in that 270, 275, 280 range. They aren't stiff. They're fairly athletic, and they've done a nice job of, you know, on traditional running plays. They've done a nice job of plugging the holes and having some size and a little bit of athleticism there. And they've got a couple linebackers that are physical that can run a little bit. And Kansas's defense has really improved a lot over last year. So far after 2 weeks, the defense and the special teams are the two things that really stands out that Charlie Weiss has improved since he's taken over.
The 270 and the 280 guys, are they at tackle or are they at end?
Well, what they do is they call them one nose, and then they call them left end and right end. Or they call one of them a defensive tackle and one of them an end. But it's kind of an odd front. So what they'll do is they play the buck linebacker. So he's kind of the rover guy. He can drop into coverage. He can come up off the edge. You know, he's a fairly athletic linebacker. They've got two or three guys that play that position that rotate in and out. So when you say, you know, when you look at them, they line up. Sometimes they'll bring five on the line. Sometimes they'll have four on the line. Sometimes they'll have four on the line and one guy drops back into coverage. So they do a good job of changing things up.
And Louisiana Tech defensively, they're anchored by three seniors on the defensive line. Defensive tackle Justin Ellis, 357 pounds. Another D tackle starting is about 300 pounds. IKN and Polly is about 250, 260. Then the other defensive end's about the same. Do you foresee maybe a little mismatch with a 357 guy right there in the middle of the defensive line?
Well, yeah, I'll tell you, Rice last week had a kid number, I think he wore 57 or 55. I think his name was Covington. He was about 6'3", 300, but he was active. I mean, this kid from Rice was good, and he really gave the center from Kansas some trouble at times. Now, you know, that's going to be the matchup of the game. From listening to what you're saying and what I've seen from Kansas, I think Louisiana Tech's front four up against this Kansas offensive line that's still learning every week, I mean, that's going to prove to be a really interesting matchup.
When you look at for entertainment purposes only, we don't condone any betting. When you look at the line, it's about 10.5, 10 points, whichever book you look at. And the over-under is around 40-something. I would almost say that's a crazy line. How in the world can they ever – either one of these teams get to a total of 40-something points? And when I first saw the line open at 10 points, I thought, are they going to put the over-under at 10 points? Because that could potentially be the case.
Yeah, you know what's going to happen then, now that you said that. Somebody's going to return the opening kickoff. Somebody else is going to put a drive together. Somebody's going to get an interception return. And next thing you know, we're going to be sitting there 14-10 after one quarter. You know that's how it's going to work out.
Well, let's hope, because nobody likes watching a defensive struggle, especially at Louisiana Tech after last year's success on offense. So let's hope that I am jinxing the defensive struggle, because Louisiana Tech fans are sick of watching the offensive struggle.
Well, from what I've seen so far, just following Louisiana Tech from afar, having some chats with you, and then following Kansas, you know, I don't know how either team at any time can be a 10-point favorite over each other. So, you know, it's a hopefully it'll end up being a good game.
Well, John, before I let you go, give me a prediction on what you see happening Saturday.
You know, I'm going to go in on the reverse. I think somehow these guys are going to find a way to get some points and put some drives together on there. It may not be one of those 45-38 games, but I'm going to go with a close game. I'm going to go Kansas 28, Louisiana Tech 24.
You know, that could be very possible, but I just don't see personally either one of those teams scoring that many points. Well, John, really appreciate you coming on Bleed Tech Blue Radio this evening, and I look forward to talking to you in the future.
All right, Jonathan, take care.
Thanks, John.
John Kirby, publisher of JayhawkSlant.com, Kansas Rivals.com site. Really good stuff from John today. Let's take that break, John, and all of John Tabor, that is. On the other side of the break, we'll talk about Kansas and give our thoughts. And then, of course, in the final segment, we'll give our predictions. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7.
Want to find out stuff about tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7, presented by Lincoln Agency. Jared, a couple of sponsors before we get to our friend Rafe in his weekly call.
Bleed Tech Blue Season 6 brought to you by Lincoln Agency. National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevyland in Shreveport, Maxwell's Market in Shreveport. And follow Rafe's example and call us on the College Deal Hotline at 888-993-7762 or email us at radio@bleedtechblue.com.
Let's go to that collegesteal.com hotline with our friend Rafe. Rafe, what's going on, man?
Oh, man, I'm just trying to get my thoughts together about this week. I really, you know, after I was not able to listen to the first part of your show. I just got home from dinner. But, you know, that was difficult to digest. That in terms of the opportunity that Tech had and in terms of really what we looked like offensively, and especially as we think about the season, it seems like there should be a progression, and it does not seem like there's progress happening there.
You know, Rafe, one thing that I did say that is probably the biggest thing that I've said all day was that the people who have been criticizing the coaching staff need to step off the ledge and get their brains checked for brain activity, because I think it's way too early to be all over these coaches when you look at the quarterback situation. With there's 7 quarterbacks on a roster, and 5 of them were recruited or brought in by the previous staff. And then the offensive line, as little experience as on that offensive line, how can you judge the offensive line coach with one guy returning on the offensive line? And then furthermore, that Sonny Dykes was building a team and not a program, and there's nothing more evident about that than this year.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll say this: the defense looks really good, and some of those are Dykes' recruits, and so those guys have stepped up. And as disappointed as I have been in the offense, the defense is, vice versa. They've looked really good. It kind of surprised me in that way. And it's not like I think that the offense is, a lost cause. I mean, there you see little elements of flashes of possibility, but. There's just not any kind of consistency. I'm going to talk consistency really at any position. You know, that we can't sustain a three downs, much less a quarter of football. So I don't know if there's a couple, little bit of tweaking here and there may actually produce a little bit better, offensive performance. But it's hard to, from the sidelines, to see exactly what needs to be tweaked.
You know, Rafe, Jared came up with a statistic a little while ago, and I'm going to let him say it, and I think you're going to be kind of blown away by this statistic, and it's a Kansas statistic.
Rafe, going back and looking through the schedule, you have to go all the way back to 2011 in week three to find the last time that Kansas beat an FBS opponent. They've lost a 22 consecutive FBS games, and that opponent was Northern Illinois that they defeated, and they only defeated them by 3 points. 22 consecutive FBS games that Kansas has lost.
I submit to you, will Tech be the first FBS team that Kansas beats since 2011?
Ooh, I'm not saying yes or no to that. I have heard that already. You know, I've heard that they haven't beaten an FBS team in quite a while. And I personally think Weiss is one of the most, I don't know if he's still overrated, but in his heyday, probably the most overrated coach in the profession. And, he's basically underachieved wherever he's gone. So it was
obvious at the Patriots that the brains behind that operation was the head coach.
Yeah, I seriously think that somebody hired him because his pants kind of look like Parcells in the front, the way he wore them, or something like that. I mean, there's literally, I cannot figure out what about him. I mean, I'm not trashing him. He's a millionaire. That's fine with me. But anyway, my point is I expect us to see a little bit something different, not in terms of really a play calling, but I think that we're going to see a little bit different as far as some shifting in personnel and probably similar attack that we've been having. And if we hit on a couple of plays, then maybe we could sustain something and see a little bit of excitement from our offense. But so I'm not throwing in the towel, and I'm glad that Kansas has been terrible against FBS teams, because we're not like lighting it up ourselves. So anyway, I'm going to watch the game with great interest, still going to plan to make the trip to the Heart of Dallas game in a couple of weeks. And something has to be a little bit different this week. Hopefully we'll see a spark at a key position.
Like always, we really appreciate the phone call, Rafe.
All right, man. Y'all take care.
Thanks, my friend. Another statistic that I think is glaring for both of these teams, Jared, is, and it tells of both teams' offensive struggles. Kansas ranks 104 in the country in time of possession at 27 minutes a game, whereas Tech ranks 118 at 24 minutes a game. Something's got to give.
Someone's statistic is about to be improved.
Or maybe they'll be equal. that's not good.
No, it's not. But Kansas is, they're turnover prone. Heaps. As Jake Heaps has thrown two touchdowns and two picks this year. I believe you said, yeah, he threw 9 touchdowns, 8 picks a season ago. No, 2 seasons ago.
He transferred from BYU.
Right. So he's an interception machine. And then also, Rice was able to get to him a few times in that game last week and sack him. So there's opportunities there for the defensive line to improve upon that tackles for a loss statistic. And maybe IK get a couple of more sacks put on his resume.
The place where Tech looks – Texas offensive rankings, or the rankings across the board statistically, as you can imagine, aren't great in any category. But we talked about this last year, that if Tech could have a defense in the 50s or even in the 70s last year, they would have gone 12-0.
Oh, absolutely.
And this year, they've got that. Total defense is 87, but even if Tech had this defense last year, they go 12-0.
I completely agree.
And then turnover margin, Tech's 51 in the country at a point average of 0.3 turnover positive 0.3 turnover margin. So they're forcing more turnovers than they're giving. And then where's the other one that was of note? Red zone defense, 55th, 81% of the time that a team gets into the red zone, they score. Net punting, I was actually encouraged by. With two freshmen punting, Tech ranks 60th with a 37.7 yards a punt average. That's not bad for two freshmen.
No, not at all. Gerald Chouse came in last game and averaged 45 a punt. So that's not bad at all.
You got a question. You said this in a break a little while ago, Jared. Who's going to be the kicker and who's going to be the punter this week for Tech? Gerald Chouse finished the game last week against Tulane, but Logan McPherson had a good game against Lamar. And then Kyle Fisher struggled kicking the ball against Tulane, but had a really good game against Lamar. Will they try Jonathan Barnes at kicker? Will they leave? Will they leave that alone?
You know, it'll hurt Fisher's confidence if they pull him out for Barnes, and then you have to go back to him. You know, say that Barnes comes in and he's not just lighting it up either,
and kicking such a mental game.
Right. I feel like it may hurt you in the long run by pulling Fisher.
I bet they leave him.
I think they'll leave Fisher, but I would not be surprised to see Gerald Chouse come out for the first punt of the game.
I think that Fisher will stay at kickoffs. It wouldn't surprise me if Jonathan Barnes tries place kicking.
I can see that. I can see that.
Kyle Fisher's been a really good kickoff guy.
Yeah.
But like you said, it's going to hurt his confidence in kicking such a mental game. It wouldn't surprise me either way. But that's something that could happen. I will continue to say that I like this defense. When you look at, they gave up a ton of points against North Carolina State, and these numbers are very skewed from that game.
Absolutely.
But you can't take the game out because it happened. Lamar, they only gave up 14 points. Tulane, they gave up 24. If you would have told Skip Holtz in three games you'd average just over 30-something points a game and given up on defense, he would have felt pretty good.
Yeah, and like you said, those stats are skewed because of the NC State game. Really, this team could be given up.
Or actually, they're giving up an average of 26 points a game. Not even 30-something. 26 points a game.
Wow. So what you're telling me is that you have to score four touchdowns to win, which is not bad at all. Just this offense can't score four touchdowns.
If this offense can get anything going and not leave the defense on the field the entire game and get gassed like they did against Tulane,
right?
The sky's the limit of this football team.
Yeah. No, I agree. I didn't expect this team to be where it is at this point of the season. I expected 2-1. I didn't expect 1-2. But the mistakes that have been made thus far are very correctable. And it's not a matter of coaching. It's a matter of execution. And I'm, like we said earlier in the show, I'm interested in seeing the changes that they make on the offensive line, whether it's a personnel change or just a position change.
And I'm going to go out to practice tomorrow, get some interviews. We'll have those up on BleedTechBlue.com tomorrow. Getting Holtz on the record talking about the changes that they're making, if he will go on the record and talk about them. Maybe see some of those changes. I doubt that they'll still have team stuff going on by the time we get out there. They normally are done by that time. And I'll reach out to some sources, see what I can find down as far as what changes will be made. We'll have all that on BleedTechBlue.com as the week progresses. But let's take this break, and on the other side of the break, we'll give our predictions and talk more Kansas Jayhawk, Louisiana Tech Bulldog football here on ESPN Radio 97.1.
have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio every week.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. In our final segment of Episode 5 on Season 6, we are brought to you by Lincoln Agency this year. Jared, a couple of sponsors before we get into those predictions.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6 is brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevy Land in Shreveport, Maxwell's Market in Shreveport. Call us on the College Deal Hotline at 888-993-7762 or send us emails at radio@bleedtechblue.com.
Thanks again to all of our awesome sponsors of the show. Makes it possible. Without them, it wouldn't be possible.
Seriously. Without them, there would be no Bleed Tech Blue Radio show.
It's the truth. I'd be podcasting, and you'd just be listening to me at my house, which who wants to do that?
Also true.
Who wants to do that? Not me.
You know, we don't mention it, but you could also tweet your questions to @BleedTechBlue. Just @BleedTechBlue using the hashtag BTB Radio.
That's right. #BTB Radio, and we will get to those questions just like it was a call or an email. But Jared, this game, what are we sitting now at our records? I'm 2-1. You guys are 1-2, right?
Is that right? You picked NC State. I picked Tech. Asterisk on that one.
You're never going to let that go.
We both picked Lamar, and then I picked. Okay, yeah, we're okay. Yeah,
I'm 2-1. You're 1-2.
Yeah, yeah.
This may be the week where you pick it up.
This could be the week where I come back, and I'll then be 2-2.
And I'll be 2-2.
Right, I'll get back to .500.
So go ahead and give yours. Let's start with Dierte. French for Joe Dirt.
I am the ultimate opportunist. I'm going to say Tech 24, Kansas 23.
24-23. Oh, my gosh. People will be biting on some fingernails on that one.
Yeah, well, they're probably going to be biting on some fingernails regardless. The line for this game, not that we condone betting of any kind.
It's for entertainment purposes only.
Correct. Entertainment. Informational. You know, Vegas gets a lot of these picks
somehow right, and it's crazy.
I don't know how they do it.
They got some mathematicians and some numbers people.
Yes, they do. Anyway, they have the line set at 9 in favor of Kansas.
It's at 10 and 10 and a half now. It's moved a good bit.
I wonder what the purpose.
Well, that's how the money goes.
Well.
It opened up as a 9. Kansas. On one line, it opened up as a 9. It's at 10.5 on that one. One, it opened up as a 9, and it's at 10 on that one. They pulled it off the board for a minute. At 11:21 yesterday, they pulled it off of their betting board, which tells you they got some heavy plays on Kansas.
Lots of people taking the Jayhawks.
And the over-under is what's crazy. They've got it now at 50.
I don't think both teams are capable.
Are you saying bet the farm on the under?
I would. Well, if I were a betting man,
bet the farm on the under.
I would bet the under. I don't think both of these teams can combine for 50 points.
24-23. Even Dirt doesn't have him scoring 50 points.
No, even Dirt. Okay. I know you wanted me to pick first.
I'm the veteran, so I always go last.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm taking Louisiana Tech because I know.
Tech's not going to be the first FBS team they've beat in since 2011.
Oh, I sure hope not. Wouldn't that be something if they were? What a terrible, terrible statistic to be a part of.
We're going to start calling you terrible.
Yeah. Okay.
We might have to get this is way too old for you, but the Pee Wee Herman show with the word of the day.
Oh, no. I know Pee Wee Herman.
Might have to get a chair in the corner that's screaming every time you say terrible.
Oh, man. One man, someone put on the board, I don't think Tech could beat any team besides FIU right now, which is also terrible. Okay, enough procrastinating. I'm going to take Louisiana Tech in a nail-biter. I'm going to say they win 20-17.
I think you're close. But I would probably have to flip those numbers. I'm going to say Kansas 21, Louisiana, no, not 21, because Tech's got a good red zone defense. They're not going to score three touchdowns in the red zone.
I don't think they will.
Let's say 20. 20 to 14.
So you have the Bulldog offense scoring two touchdowns. Or that could be the offense scoring a touchdown and the defense scoring a touchdown.
Or special teams.
Right.
Like
or both.
Almost was.
Yeah, or both. One special teams touchdown, one defense touchdown, and the offense is held. Oh, man. After the Tulane game, Skip Holtz said that apparently he's going to have to rely on the defense to score touchdowns. And I know he was jesting, but...
Was he?
that's what I'm saying. Okay, I don't think that Kansas scores more than two touchdowns in this game. I really don't. Louisiana Tech's defense is too good, and the Kansas offense is too bad. I could see Jay keeps throwing three picks.
I will say this, that I think that Tech's going to have a short field several times, like they did against Tulane.
Yeah, oh, I agree. The question won't be
can they capitalize?
Exactly. I want to see touchdowns, not field goals. That's what I want to see.
So I guess my 14 is probably too low. What did I say? 20?
You said 20 to 14.
Let's say 2017.
Okay, but you're still taking
Kansas.
Still taking Kansas. All right, so if there's ever a time for the Bulldogs to pull it out.
In case you've missed it, we do a Conference USA power ranking on BleedTechBlue.com each week, and we pull the Conference USA publishers on Rivals.com, not all of them, but the majority of them, so we get a good basis of rankings. This week, East Carolina was the number one team in the conference. Then Marshall, Rice, Middle Tennessee, North Texas, Tulsa, Tulane, UTEP, UTSA, Louisiana Tech, UAB, FAU, Southern Miss, and FIU.
You know, I continue to put Southern Miss at the bottom of mine because they have not won a game.
But FIU lost to Bethune-Cookman 34-13. So, Louisiana Tech could – last week they were number 6 in our power poll, and they dropped 4 spots to number 10.
Tulane gained 3 spots to number 7.
Well, Tech was the biggest mover.
Tech was the biggest mover.
And East Carolina went up from the number 2 spot to the number 1 spot this week after a loss to a Virginia Tech team by 5 points. So – this team, this conference is very top heavy, with East Carolina and Marshall being the classes of the conference. But anything's possible in the middle of this conference. I think that they're all pretty equal.
Yeah, the conference is definitely middle heavy. UAB didn't play last week, but really I would say FAU all the way up to North Texas, Middle Tennessee, Rice. Are all.
We did just get a question on Twitter from Matt, and I think he's in Shreveport, but he's another one of these fans that is asking for the heads of the coaches. If Tech goes 1-11, will there be significant changes done on the coaching staff?
Well,
the answer is a quick and simple no.
First of all, I don't think they go 1-11.
No, they won't go 1-11. But even if they did. Tech's not a school where they can afford to make changes at 1-11 after that.
No, I agree. The only way I could see that happening, and I'm not saying that it will, and I don't think it will, was maybe if, I don't know, new athletic director Tommy McClellan wanted to go in a different direction. And I think he understands and knows.
And in order for that to happen, Tech's got to go on the road to a very bad FIU team and lose to them.
Yeah, which
a team like Southern Miss that they get at home, they'd have to lose to them.
Right. Which I really can't see that happening. Even
that's 3-9 right there, and you only need 3 more outside of those two to get the bowl eligibility.
Which I figure Army will be one of those. Either UTSA or UTEP will be one of those.
Rice isn't out of the question. Rice struggled against Kansas,
and
Tulsa's not out of the question.
Tulsa's not out of that question. Personally, I really feel like if the offense could get back on track, and you can write this down if you want to, because I'm going to personally guarantee it. Which means nothing. But anyway, they could win every game left in the season. They really could. The talent is there. The defense is there. And Conference USA this year is very, very top heavy, and we don't have to play.
And just so you know, people that are listening, if Tech does win out and go 10-2, for all you people that are asking for the heads of the coaches, I will be laughing at you.
And I'd also like to point out that I picked on BleedTechBlue.com for Tech to finish at 10-2.
John, who do we have on the phone? That's what they're on.
Okay, Jason.
Jason, what's going on, man?
What's up? I just had to give a not so fast, my friend.
About?
I mean, they might get it back on track a little bit, and I think beat FIU or Southern Miss, but I wouldn't start thinking about no bowl eligibility, not after that offensive debacle.
You got to remember how bad this conference is.
Yeah, I saw how bad Tulane was, and all they had to do was start blitzing, and it was over. So unless they get some things turned around, we'll see. I mean, Kansas and Army and North Texas, that'll give you a pretty good idea. But
and UTEP's not exactly a world beater.
Right.
You're right, but I'm counting about Southern Miss and FIU is about the only two that Texas might even be a favorite in.
Well, your friends at Massey Ratings do disagree with you.
They weren't there Thursday night.
They weren't. You're right about that, but
they just got to get something figured out. I thought I read some comments blaming it on execution. We heard that from Dykes back in the day. I didn't see a whole lot of adjustments going on, but something's got to be figured out because it just looked like, you know, that whole offense didn't know what the other person next to them was doing. They were just totally discombobulated.
It's inexperience. I buy the no execution personally, but not everybody has to, and not everybody will. So I
will. Yeah, Jason, we'll see. I don't know. It was frustrating, so I had to give my 2 cents.
I got you. We're up against the end of the show. Appreciate you calling.
See
you, Jason Jones, ladies and gentlemen.
Ever the pessimist.
And he really isn't normally. That's normally been my role. I'm a realist, and I realize that things aren't as far gone as a lot of people think they are.
Oh, no.
For Jared King, Joe Dirt, the Dirty, I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com. We'll be back next week. Same time, same place. See you then.